everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Speakeasy Podcast. My name is Kate.
My name is Alan, and we are from ReverseThieves.com. If you want to give us any feedback, suggestions, or comments, or just want to say hello, or maybe I saw that show and I liked it too, or I saw that show and I have a different opinion, then contact us at ReverseThieves@gmail.com. Or come on our Discord server and tell us how wrong we are, how right we are. Or just like, hey, you should watch this show. It's really cool.
Or come on there and tell us what you're doing about the demise of Right Stuff.
Yeah.
Where are you shopping? What are you doing? We've recently discovered that Robert's Anime Corner store still exists. So
and he can finally go, finally, my dread rival, the Right Stuff, is finally dead. Now I will become king of
like
the
supreme
anime.
Like, oh, you know what? Maybe I will be shopping there. So yeah, come hang out with us on Discord. And of course, you can always lurk there. You do not even have to speak to come hang out. So if you just want to see what's going on, what other things we're talking about, sometimes we elaborate on anything that's here on the podcast there. So please check it out. All right. So this month's episode, we are talking a little bit about the end of the most recent season of anime. And then we are also diving into the very, very, very big fall 23 anime season. It's like feels enormous. So we are not going to talk about everything that we've been watching. Also, I haven't even watched everything yet, but we're going to split it up, and I think we'll talk about some more shows in November. But first,
we've got the Typhoon Minute. The first, I wanted to talk about two FGO things. The last big event that we had was Wangina's World Tour, which has Wangina, who is a Aboriginal Australian spirit, and so she's the first like Australian character in the game, and she kind of appeared in the summer event, so she's like got out of NPC jail really quick. People really enjoyed her, although they did find it very maybe a little on the nose that she has a boomerang. You know, the rest of her shtick is very like Aboriginal, like actually, you know, into the Aboriginal with the, you know, standard Typhoon twist. And the second thing is they just announced this morning that in 2 days they're going to have the 3,000 day campaign, which has a bunch of awards and prizes. But we get our first ticket where you can get a limited 4-star servant. They've had, you know, they've had tickets where you can get a free 4-star servant and even story locked. But this is the first time you can get a limited servant as a 4-star servant. So people are very excited. I've missed a bunch of summer 4-stars over the years. So I'm like looking at which summer servant I should pick from the many I've missed, narrowing it down and for what I'll pick in the next 2 days. The last thing I wanted to mention was what almost made me late today. Just at the end of last month, Fate Samurai Remnant came out, and I've played a few times before today. This is the first time I've had just the house to myself and just nothing to do. So I like woke up and like did some chores, and I'm like, my roommate left for work. Let me play some Samurai Remnant, and then 7 hours passed, and then I realized, oh man, I gotta do a bunch of stuff before I come over to Kate's. I got here on time, but still.
That must speak to its enjoyment.
Yeah, so we got Fate Samurai Remnant. My roommate got like the special edition, I just got the regular edition. It's set, once again, set in the past, where we have the son, the historical son of Musashi, you know, the famous swordsman Musashi, is the main character, and he gets put into this, you know, gets drawn into this, the waning moon ritual, which is kind of like not exactly a Holy Grail war. It's kind of like a variant. And he fights alongside a mysterious saber who refuses to give him, this saber character whose gender is unknown, refuses to give the main character their names, so we don't know who they are right now. You know, they're fighting various servants in kind of a historical setting. It is by, you know, the Dynasty Warriors people. So it's a little bit Dynasty Warriors-y combat, but there's a lot of like, there's like exploring parts of the game, and there's like missions, and like you can travel around, and like the Saber Servant can do certain things on like the map to like get you to certain places. So it's not, there's a little bit of Dynasty Warriors in it, but it's mostly a lot more like exploration and crafting and all other kinds of stuff. So it's interesting that like it isn't just like a Musou fighting, you know, just fight 1,000 guys on a map, and they're like little sections that are just like, there'll be a boss with a, you know, bunch of little enemies, and you'll just fight them for like a random encounter fight or like a mission thing. But it's not like the standard, just a map of, you know, mostly foot soldiers that you just mow through, and then like a few bosses and key places. Apparently, as I learned from an interview that I read, was originally supposed to be like a Dark Souls game, like super duper hard, like, you know, just you die a lot. And but then basically I realized that a lot of people would be coming in from like the like Grand Order and visual novels, and they're like, maybe we shouldn't like throw them into like the thresher of one of the hardest like game genres for people who basically have mostly played like RPGs and you know, visual novels. So they like made it a little more of like an accessible fighting system. The one thing that and here's the meme that I was going to mention, I mentioned before, so they like with A Witch on a Holy Night, it came with an art book that has like a big seal on it that's like, do not open up and read this art book if you don't want spoilers, because this art book spoils a whole bunch of stuff. So
I like that they put that on there when you got it, because I wouldn't think, you know, like you wouldn't necessarily think to do that.
I'm impressed that just from like the little amount of materials, people had figured out most of the like who the servants were. But the funny thing is like, the person they kept like most hidden was the person like the one caster. And so like people like eagerly opened up the book and you know, like, who is this caster that we couldn't figure out? And have you ever seen this Justice League meme, Kate, where it's from an episode where Lex Luthor and Flash switch bodies? Oh, so there's this famous meme where from an episode of Justice League where Lex Luthor and Flash switch bodies. So Lex Luthor has been like the Flash for a while, and he's like, well, I might as well get something out of this. So he like rushes into his bathroom as the Flash, and he's like, well, I'll like lift up the mask and I'll find out who the Flash's secret identity is. And he like lifts up the mask and looks at, you know, his face in the mirror, and he's like, I have no idea who this is. And that's how it was with Caster. People found out, like, historically who this character was, and their basic answer was, I have no idea who this is.
What a letdown, everybody. That's like, hilarious.
Like, apparently, like, if you're, like, a big, like, detailed Japanese, like, history person, you might know who this person was, but nobody... Like, almost nobody in America was like, who the fudge is this guy? It wasn't like
somebody... I mean, it does take place in, like, deep Japanese history, right? So it makes sense.
But, yeah, no, somebody, they were expecting, like, Abe no Senbei or somebody, like, you know, that people at least vaguely knew, but he was, like, deep cut. It's like, I could literally spoil it, and most people would be like, oh, all right. So I've been enjoying the game. As I play on, I'll eventually give a more detailed summary and my thoughts. But apparently it sold like 300,000 copies. So, like they already want to put it in big grand order and stuff. So like, seems to have done well. So,
okay, so that's good. Yeah. I feel like I don't have a metric, so I just don't know. Is that like, that's a lot?
Yes.
Okay.
So it apparently it like did well in the Japanese chart. So it looks like.
But it was also released in English.
Yes.
That's what you
heard. Yes.
Okay, so how's it doing? We don't know that.
Yes. But it did well in Japan, so that means, what do you call it? And it seems to be getting, like, generally good reviews, and people seem to like it, and I like it, so...
And that's what really matters on this podcast.
So I'll probably have a little more to tell you next month, so I will see you then, type lunatics.
All right, so as is, like... I feel like a little traditional at this point. Before we jump in to all the new shows of the season, we just want to give a shout out to like anything that's continuing that we're watching that, as we said, we won't really review, you know, ongoing shows or season twos of things, but it's always worth saying like, you know, what is still like on the docket for us. So did want to mention that. Whatever the hell schedule Jujutsu Kaisen is on, I don't know, but like, it seems like it's continuing, but I don't know for how long, but whatever. Whenever it's on, we're watching it, and like, right now, there's still episodes, so...
I also just feel like Jujutsu Kaisen is so popular. The fact that I constantly see it at work, at the airport, is like, it feels like one of those shows, like, I could be on whatever I want, and you guys will watch. You know, play the air horn here.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, so I'm watching it. You know what? I probably am the most, or I'm sorry, I'm probably the least enthusiastic fan of the show, but I still like it. I'm also watching Reign of the Seven Spellblades, and that's continuing into this season.
I've been watching that as well. At this point, I just consider it like, what if we went to Hogwarts and all the teachers were evil?
And everything was deadly. yeah, it's like a fun little show. It's not brilliant or anything, but like, it's, you know, entertaining enough.
I also enjoy that like, we now learn that our main character is part of a like, Code Geass secret society.
We knew it was coming. You know, it does. I feel like it is.
I guess I didn't realize they were a whole network. I just assumed it was him on his one person, like, revenge arc with, like, his assistant. But I didn't realize he had, like.
There's a bigger, greater plot going on. Yeah. And I think we're in book two of, like, because it's based on a light novel, so we've surpassed book one, and now we're, like, into the second set of stories, and maybe even gonna be, I bet we'll hit even further than book two, probably, by the end of this year, season. In terms of fall shows, we've got The Return of Spy Family, which everybody is, like, hype about, and that opening, sorry.
I forgot to tell my mom that Spy Family is playing on.
Yes. Please tell me your thoughts about the new opening in the Discord.
Kate, not a fan.
Not a fan.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Stone is back. I'm just waiting for my roommate to have free time for us to start watching it again because I love that show. Glad to see it back.
Is this the final?
No. This is going to be probably the second half of the New World arc. And then I think after that, there's the big Why Man arc. So.
Why the Last Man?
There has to be at least one more season after this.
I'm also really excited that finally we are getting the second season of The Faraway Paladin. I've watched the first episode, just glad to have these characters back. And the first episode is more of like a side story. And then I think episode two is really going to like get into like the next plot. But yeah, just like, it was so nice to see them. I really like the music in that show. And then also really, really, really important show is back. Hypnosis Mike season two is here, everybody. Are you watching? Who is your favorite team? Are you a fan of the new? I think we have two new groups in the universe of like rap battling. The first episode features a terrorist situation where someone rips open their jacket and, you know, like sort of like to be like, there's a bomb or whatever, except it's just full of microphones. You guys, if you're not watching, what are you doing with your lives?
On a far less serious note, I, you know, because at the peak of seriousness, that is Hypnosis Mike, everything is downhill. So I'm continuing on with Ancient Magus's Bride, which like literally just was like in the middle of a storyline. So they just pick up where they ended. I'm like, good, that was important because you guys like did not end in the middle of like, he's literally still a monster stalking the school and killing people and like draining people. And like these characters are in big limbo. And like this person is like involved in this whole big complex thing that like did not get solved at all. So like, yeah, there's still, there were dozens of moving gears that were still ongoing. So I'm glad to have that back so we can pick up.
All right. So I think now that leads us into all of the new shows that you could be watching. In addition to all of that, and now that we've said that entire list, I'm like, I'm going to also watch two shows. That was a lot of stuff already. So first up is one of the detective shows this season, which is Ron Kamonohashi's Forbidden Deductions. And just to be completely transparent, when we were starting the show, we were like, okay, so this will be a BL show. How will they have a BL twist of this detective show? Because we've seen some interesting ones in the last few seasons. But this one is about a great detective who has secluded himself away for unknown reasons, and he is sort of drawn out by a eager young police detective named Toto. No, wait, that's not his actual name. I forgot that that's what our detective calls him. Anyway, we're calling him Toto because I don't remember what it is. And because there's this serial murderer case that the police are having trouble solving, and like one of Toto's superiors is like, oh, well, maybe you should like go ask this, you know.
Because he's kind of seen as like not a very good detective by the rest of the staff, and like, man, the rest of the staff is like, I don't know why he got made a detective in the first place.
Oh, Toto, like, oh, he's like green and like, you know, they don't really give him a chance. So he really wants to help solve this case. So they actually do. I was like, is this going to be like the main case of the series? But they actually solve the case in the first episode. And we get to see sort of how, you know, our great detective works. And also it's revealed sort of why
he had to isolate himself.
Yeah, because he has, I think we can at least say, he has a record of 100% solve rate, but zero arrests. So, like, that's sort of the dynamic and, like, why that is and, like, what's going on. It's a little bit weird, not gonna lie, but, like...
And it is worth mentioning that, like, there are at least one person with powers.
Yeah, because it was like, is it... Well, but it was... I felt like it was unclear to me if it was, like... a power or if it was just supposed to be sort of a manifestation of his power of persuasion, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Is it like there's gonna be like magic in the series, or is it like no, it's just supposed to be sort of like a very fanciful interpretation?
I got the sense that it was a power, but I could see what you're saying.
Yeah, so like I will say at least the case that they solved didn't involve any like magic or supernatural things, at least not this one. What did you think of the case?
Like I thought the case itself was fine. I'm just not sure about the gimmick.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, they had like interesting, they gave you enough clues. But I was like, that's like an interesting way that the killer works. And like, I can see how he put things together. So like, it wasn't like one of those shows where like, what was it like The Last Detective, or what was the detective show we watched a little while ago where like the guy's partner died and then this new girl steps in. And mm-hmm. I remember that show. I was like, I guess this is a mystery.
Yeah, that was like the first episode, like the hostage situation and stuff. Yeah, I remember that.
So I felt like the mystery was decently well constructed. But yeah, like, something about the premise, I'm like,
And then in terms of is this a BL series or not, I think it's going to be one of those ones that, like, it's not. But like, you can interpret it any way you want because...
Well, yeah. Because I was like... Because when we were watching, one of our friends noted that, like, is this, like, Psychopass? And I looked it up. And so it is the Psychopass character designer because it's based on a manga by the Hitman Reborn author, who is, like, and Hitman Reborn is just infamous for not being BL, but, like, just...
Leaning so, in.
Oh, yeah. Like, clearly just being, like, here you go, BL fans. I'm not, you know, ever... Like, I'm not necessarily queer baiting, but I'm also doing nothing to stop all of you. Maybe leaning a little bit in. And that kind of feels like this series kind of feels the same way.
Yeah, I feel like it was fine, but it didn't make me really excited for the, like, mysteries or anything. So maybe worth checking out. I would like, I also tend to, like, want some bigger, like, I enjoy, like, a bigger mystery in addition to the smaller mysteries. So it may be in the second episode they could introduce, like, some overarching mystery, but we'll see. All right, so moving on to a different kind of occupation. Firefighter Daigo, rescuer in orange. So, Al, you reminded me of a distinction that this manga has. So
this is a sequel manga, but the original manga, the original Firefighter Daigo, is kind of infamous in the manga industry as being, like, one of the lowest selling manga of all time.
In the US.
In the US, yes.
Like, important.
Yeah. But, like, if I remember, like, certain, like, you know, volumes, like, sold, like, double or single digits. Like, it was, like, infamously bad for Viz.
It was just way, just not the time for it. I mean, I don't know if this is the time for it either, but, like, definitely not the time. Came out so long ago at this point. But yes, yeah, so this is technically a sequel, but, like, I've never read Firefighter Daigo, and, like, it's really more of, like, a, like, this anime is much more of, like, a, just kind of, like, a firefighter procedural, like, kind of, that's what is, like, so interesting about it to me, because... like, Daigo is also not our point of view character, at least not in the first episode. Mm-hmm. So it's someone else in his unit, and, like, it's just, like, firefighters doing firefighter things! And also, like, then we flash back to, like, their training to, like, get into, like, the squad that they're in, which is, like, very elite and very difficult to get into. And so it's almost like a sport. It's like a little bit like a sports manga. And Daigo's just like, he's just like a super good dude. And our point of view character is like also a good dude, but he's like, why is this guy so cool? Like, that's his job. He's the straight man, even though, like, Daigo's even more straight.
Yeah. Cause, like, it feels like our main character would be the, like, protagonist of lead anywhere else, but it's like, well, Daigo's here, so I just look like the average schlub now.
But he's not, like, upset about it. I mean, he's a little, like, rivalry. He's a little Vegeta. He's a little bit Vegeta. Like, their team, you know, like, and it's, like, in the first episode, you know, they're pulling people out of this building, and it's really high up, and so, like, Daigo... is in the building trying to get people out, and, like, his partner is going up on the ladder, and, like, he doesn't communicate well with him, and then they, like, get in a fight about it after, like, everybody's fine, and, like, then they get in a fight about it, and he's like, but I thought you just, like, understood me, and it was like, oh, it was, like, a beautiful moment. I feel like probably very unintentionally, there's, like, definitely BL potential for, like, this series. And I think it's, like, a seinen, you know? Like, it has a very seinen quality to it. So I'm like, I don't think that's what you mean. But, like, there's strong friendship. There's strong vibes here. And then also there is, we don't get to know her too well, but there's also, like, a third member of the like,
I think
main,
like,
cast.
I think, like, the second episode is, like, the birth of the trio or something. So, like, she's definitely important.
Yeah. So like, I think maybe it's, again, sometimes it's like, oh, would I like this show if I at a different age or whatever? But like, I really liked it. I thought like the characters had like a good rapport with each other. Like firefighting is like inherently exciting. Like I enjoyed even then like training and stuff. And like, I just like, I thought that had good vibes. I really liked it. And unusual, and also like an unusual show, because there's like no magic, guys. There's no, I guess there, we just went through a training arc, but it was, you know, less than an episode. There is no tournament arc as of yet, you know, like nobody has powers, like.
But if it's not Fire Force with the girl has to like full boob first into everybody, why should I watch it?
Well, I guess I don't have a good answer for that. Probably because this is actually good. That would be.
Oh, right.
This is actually about firefighting.
Okay. That helps.
But yeah, I mean, like, I just can't think of a, like, has there ever, like, have we ever had a show that's about this?
I mean, once again, the only one I can think is Fire Force, and that has like demons and.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, just like I said, it's almost like a procedural is not the right word, I guess, because, or is it? I don't know. Someone tell me.
More like a kind of like a backdraft, almost like there's that one with that comedian who became like an actor. But it's about him being a firefighter and like from a family of firefighters. It's like on FX or something.
Oh, with Dennis Leary?
Yeah, the Dennis Leary firefighter show. Kind of like, almost like an anime version of that.
Yeah, it's like, okay. Was that right?
Rescue Me, that's it.
Okay. Yeah, because like, but I guess, almost, well, I don't know, but like, even that at least has like some sort of like dramatic backs. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I wonder if there's no clear sense from this first episode that there's going to be like some sort of dramatic. Although we don't know Daigo's like whole. We do know that he has some sort of, I think from the opening, like something happened when he was a child. My guess is that he was rescued maybe by the original Daigo because this is a sequel. But again, you don't need to know any of that. But like, that's like my guess. But actually, no, there is like a past that we have to uncover. So never mind. It's here. Watch this show, everybody. Because I feel like it's definitely not going to be like the top 10 shows on Crunchyroll.
It's not going to be Jujutsu Kaisen.
It's not. But I think you should watch it. All right. So moving over to another, like, I mean, it has giant creatures in it, so it's not like super practical, but it's still on the more practical side, which is Bullbuster, which is a mecha series this season. And it's like almost like I would describe as like construction looking robots, even though that's not what they're for. They're for like extermination, but like, you know, it looks like an excavator, you know, like that sort of look to the robots.
If this series has, for all the like mecha people listening, it has a very like Die Guard meets Pat Labor feel, where you have like the office politics and like
gotta do the paperwork
and the very like let's do an unglamorous job kind of thing, but you also have like monsters, right? A little bit of action. Not that that wasn't in Pat Labor, but no, actually there were monsters in Pat Labor at times too. Yeah, no, it reminds me very much of those two series, because like it's in the future and like apparently on some island in Japan there are monsters that have not like broken out to the mainland, but like, so the monsters are isolated so far to this one area, but they hope one day that they can reclaim it from these, you know, these monsters and get, you know, people back living there. And our crew is one of the like few like companies that like still is like, you know, like trying to reclaim or at least, you know, maintain the current balance on this like island. And we start with like a kind of a very green new pilot with the
who's also an inventor, or not an inventor, but like an engineer. He's like created this robot, the Bullbuster.
Yeah, with the company that like is merging with the company that's already doing the work there.
And they're like an extermination company. And so, yeah, it's almost like, it felt like in the first episode, the newbie was sort of like not expecting to actually pilot the robot.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way he reacted basically was interesting. Although I thought it was very, the only part I felt was weird, which was very minor, was like once he gets on the island and is like trying to take care of this, he like gets really surprised that it's like a big monster. And it's like, what did you think it was? Like rats? Like it's like, what? Do you think that they need giant robots to take care of like regular extermination? I thought that was funny and weird. The team of characters is like, you know, we got like the old veteran and then we've got like the newbie and then like the lady who is like a little mysterious, like, so I feel like there's like, again, like I think it had a good like rapport with the, all the different personalities.
And yeah, and there's a lot of like, you know, bureaucracy and office politics, like, you know, they get the call to go out. And, like, you know, they see this, like, monster rampaging and the new guy's about to get in and, like, you know, they're all ready to go and, like, the office chief runs in. He's like, you haven't filled up any paperwork. You got to fill out all this paperwork before you do anything.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And then they were like, it's an emergency. And he's like,
no, our insurance rates are more important than any emergency.
And also, like, he was like, it's isolated, like, it's contained, there's no humans there, it can, like, wait a minute, and, like, obviously, no one liked that part, and no one likes him. Yeah, so I'm interested, again, I feel like in the first episode, it had this, like, practical feel to it, but then it was, like, there is some bigger thing going on, but, like, what is that totally gonna be? I don't feel like we totally know that yet. Also, the character designs kind of reminded me a little of, like, Tiger and Bunny or something. I don't know, something about the show gave me a little bit of a Tiger and Bunny vibe for some reason, and, like, I don't know why. I don't know something about it, but, you know, very unusual to get, like, a new mecha show, original, and, again, not in your typical kind of setting anymore. It's not Gundam Witch from Mercury.
That is 100% true.
Okay, so I mentioned Hypnosis Mike earlier. Well, now Hypnosis Mike has a rival called Paradox Live, and I can't believe they're all on in the same season. I don't even know what everybody was thinking, but
it's a deep impact, what do you call it, Armageddon situation, Kate.
Okay. It's about hip-hop rap battles, but everybody has this thing in the future that was, like, found? I think it was found.
They're a little ambiguous about it. We'll get into it. But, like, there's this new technology called Phantom Metal. And if you, like, use it, you can, like, while you're, like using some kind of, like, art, like, make illusions appear.
It reacts to your emotions and, like, singing and stuff like that.
My first thought, I just have to get this out of the way, it's like this became very popular among hip hop, and like I'm like, okay, that makes sense, but it seems like only in this universe, only hip hop people use this, and everybody else is like, nah, I have no use for that. I'm like, really?
No, Al, what you don't know is that everyone who doesn't listen to hip hop or isn't a hip hop artist is dead. They're gone. They don't exist. I feel like you really need to understand how the worlds of these shows work.
Okay. I mean, I know hip-hop is the most popular American genre right now.
No, Al.
I didn't realize that in the future it would be the only genre.
Having now watched Hypnosis Mike and Paradox Live, I think I know how these things work a little bit better.
So. I will defer to Senpai.
And so our main group is Bay, and they get invited to this mysterious club called Paradox Live. And I feel like after that, it becomes a little like Danganronpa. Like, it's a little like,
there's clearly something weird going on, because this club was super popular. And then apparently, like, one night it just disappears. and like the coolest group in like phantom metal hip hop also disappears with the club. And then overnight, like the empty lot that was where Paradox is just reappears. And like the new owners are like, we're going to have this battle royale of hip hop phantom metal players. And whoever wins gets this like fantastic money prize. And you get to battle against the legendary, you know, duo who are just mysteriously back.
Yes. And we have four teams that are so there. That we're invited with special invitation. Each of them has like somewhat of like a unique style. And so, and also all the teams have, I thought this part, I don't know why I thought this was interesting, but like the different, I'm saying teams because obviously like I come from like a sports anime series, but like each one doesn't necessarily have the same amount of members. So like Bay has three and then like one of them has like seven. I don't remember. And like one has like four or five or something.
And then the twins who are in one team.
Yeah. And then there's just them or whatever. So, so there's no like, and we haven't really heard the other, we've heard Bay and then like, we haven't really heard the other.
We've seen if anything, Cat's Whiskers, we've seen the most of.
Dang, Al, I'm really impressed that you remembered one of the group's names. Like,
I just remember them because they appear, because they're the ones that appear the most. Like the twins, if you put a gun to my head, I couldn't name their team. And the other one that has like seven members, they like, I can't even, I just remember there was like that one quiet kid who like sees the twins and is like, oh my God, they're there. And they're like, who the fuck is this guy? What does he think he knows us? And then he's like, oh. And then he like monologues to himself a little bit about like, how, why are they here?
Obviously knew them in childhood or something. Oh, and then, okay. So this is, you know, clearly it's like aimed at a specific audience and like each guy has like a different look. I don't think, so if I'm comparing it to Hypnosis Mike, which is all I was doing when I was watching it, is like, I don't think the characters are as distinct and the groups are as distinct.
But there are one or two girls, and because like Bay has a female member. Oh.
Actually, I don't know if that, that character is female or not.
Mm.
There's no pronouns used. So I don't know if that character is just a very effeminate man or if that's a trans character. I thought so too, Al, but when we were like, when I was watching it, we were like, I'm not sure. And like, it's never there's never any statement. Okay. So
they could be trans or like, what do you call it, gender neutral or something.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and that's the only character that presents sort of female. Mm-hmm. And then all the other make it are, so that's also what gave us pause. We were like, wait a second.
You could be right.
So I actually should have looked up like what, you know, is this a game or is it like a you buy the CDs or like, well, I should have looked up what this thing is, but there is like something really weird is going on.
Cause like at first I remember you mentioning that there was another rap battle show. And so cause we didn't watch it together. And at first it seems like it's in this cyberpunk dystopia thing. And then that quickly, like you get like maybe 45 seconds of that with the weird lab and all this stuff. And then it's like, well, we're banging, we're hanging out, we're doing the song. And then that like, and you like almost forget about the weird cyberpunk dystopia, like weird medical experiment lab until the end where like the main character's like freaking out in the bathroom and like, you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. And like the club, like, I don't know, something super weird and creepy is going on. So
But it's like, it's almost like the show has two modes where it has like those end caps of like weirdness and like dystopian stuff. And there's a little bit of it in the thing, but most of it is like goofy, like, we're going to become the king of the hip hops.
Yeah, and also just the dark, quote unquote, parts though are also ridiculous. Like, you can just tell that it's gonna be something like super absurd because they also invented phantom metal. Like, that's the word, right? It's not phantom metal, it's phantom metal. It's one word. And they call them phantom rappers.
And yeah, like, yeah, it's gonna be super clear that, like, it turns out phantom metal is from hell, and it's, you know.
And it's like killing the people, or like, it's, yeah, like, or like, is, or it's like
from another dimension, and aliens from another dimension are using it.
Or like, are the people who use phantom metal being experimented on by, like, but remember those? See, this is the part that's like, these shows are so hilarious, but like totally unintentionally, because in the lab that Al is talking about, like, there's like a, just a shot, and it's just like a pendant on a gold chain or whatever. It's like in a like a jar or something. And you're just like, I can't take this seriously.
Or like the fact that, like, so we've mentioned this, the main character.
And I mean like a rap gold chain. You know what I mean? Yeah. I want to be clear here that it's like,
yeah, it's not like a mysterious medal or like a, like,
or just like a little pendant, yeah, you know? It's like, no, it's like
some serious bling.
Yes.
But like, also, I the third member, the one member of the Bay we haven't talked about, is like, isn't he like a Korean multimillionaire or from a, like a conglomerate?
Well, actually, I was wondering, like, because there was like a bit more of like a K-pop, K-rap, yeah, vibe to this, I felt like. And I did wonder, like, is it even set in Korea? Like, I don't think we know really where
it's set. No, I thought it was in Japan. He's okay. Just, he mentioned that he's like, because he's the black sheep of the family. He's like
that's
living
why he's
over
in Japan. Okay, because like, I was like, oh, well, he's like, you know.
Because he's not like kicked out of the family, but he's like, he's like the like least successful of all of them. Okay. But he's still, you know, fabulously rich and good looking. And
I did think it was, yeah, I'm very not curious enough probably to watch it, but I did think it was interesting because they're the most like green, you know, mm-hmm, what I mean? Like, they're very new, and it's like, why were they invited to this, like, event when they aren't like a well-known, you know, like, group? That's what we're supposed to be like, what is it, what does it mean? But sorry, I'm already committed to one hip-hop show, and in that show the entire government is controlled by rap battles. So sorry, they've won up to.
I am curious if anyone is going to mention this to the Hololive member, Hako Spells, because her nickname is Bay. And, like, someone should show her this show, if for nothing else, just the first song they sing about, like, how Bay is going to win her music, the group, but, like, Bay is going to take over the world, and Bay is going to be known for her music everywhere. And, like, I think that Hako Spell would be amazingly amused by just...
That they could start singing this song on their channel or whatever.
Because they do karaoke, so they could sing the song all about Bay on there. Like, definitely someone should show her this so that she can know about this. Like, she doesn't even have to watch the first episode. She just has to watch till the end of their first musical number, which can't be more than 7 minutes in.
All right, so we move from... whatever, I don't even know whatever that was, to Protocol Rain, which wins for having the most edgelord title, I think, of the season.
Was this just a sports show about esports?
Yeah, I don't know why it has. Maybe it's because, like, he's turned away from, like, because there was, like, a terrible accident in, like, his past, and, like, he gave up video games or whatever.
It seems to imply that the reason that his sister is in a wheelchair is because of first-person shooters.
And also, his dad is not there, so, like, I don't know if there was some accident. We don't know. That's the mysterious trauma of 3 years ago. And Shun, hasn't played FPS, even though he was, like, super good at it. And now the esports cafe that he works at with his childhood friend and like a bunch of his friends who come in there a lot is in danger of shutting down because her dad is in debt.
And an idiot.
And so they decide to form a team and compete.
Well, they had a previous esports team, but because the dad is an idiot, like the best member quits, and so they're going to lose most of their members. And so he like quickly like, all right, my daughter's pretty good and their friend is like good. And like, if I could just get this kid back into playing sports, we could like shore up the team and maybe like win the big tournament. So I'll have enough money to pay off the debts and keep the cafe open.
That's pretty much the whole premise. I mean, that's pretty much,
you know, the classic save the rec center.
Yeah, I just felt like the first episode was a little slow, and it's just a trope, but like the main girl who is like the childhood friend who's like has to take care of the main guy because he's just like, you know, doesn't take care of himself enough. I'm just like, oh God, what? I'm so tired of this. But at least she's really good at the game and she gets to be on the team. At least they have done that much, so I give them that. I think it's interesting that it's an FPS because like Yamada in Yamada-kun also, like, that was his like what he was like, you know, really good. Like good at, and like that was what he played professionally. So it's just interesting since I think FPS hasn't always been like the most popular genre in Japan. So it, like, it's interesting.
Look, if this was a manga, it would be StarCraft.
I guess. Do they still play StarCraft?
I don't know.
But I just thought that was like that was interesting. But I hate them. So I'm like, ugh, like this. Then I was like, I guess that's. I mean, that's what people play professionally, so what was I expecting? But I guess they could have been playing League or something.
Okay, that would be too toxic. They'd all just...
They could have been playing, what's the one with all the different skins?
Overwatch?
No. The one where it's like a battle royale.
Oh, Fortnite.
Yeah, that would have been also horrible. Actually, there's pretty much
nothing. Fortnite is just that first-person shooter where you can build stuff as well.
I see. There's really no game they could have been playing that I would have been interested in, I guess is what you're saying. So they have to really sell me as a sports series. And I don't know if they quite did that. I mean, is the dad the coach? Because he sucks. Who's the coach?
Maybe they'll get a coach.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe they have to, like...
He'll be just, like, the, you know, like, the owner of the team. And, like, they'll get some, like, you know, retired, you know, someone who got carpal tunnel and can't game anymore.
Okay, I'm into that. I just felt like Shun just didn't feel like he had a lot of...
I think he's supposed pizzazz. To be sold on, like, trying to find out what... What was the mysterious thing that gave him so much trauma that, like, you know, didn't let him play FPSs anymore?
I just didn't feel like he was a strong lead character, like a personality. You know, like, when I'm watching a sports series, you gotta, like, really, like, that lead character really, you know, is the linchpin to, like, bring you into the sport. And I just wasn't, like, getting that. This is an original show, too, so that part's interesting, I guess, but I don't know. Oh, wait, we forgot the other twist is that, like, one of his...
Like, the person who, like, when they're, like, trying to get him back in, one of their old buddies who used to be a, you know, like, they used to play with all the time... They come on and, like, encourage him and, like, hey, if you can beat me, then, you know, you've still got what it takes. And he finally beats him in the end and we find out.
I think they tied.
Oh, they tied. Well, no, he won because, like his shot killed the other person just, like, seconds. But they basically sign will kill each other. He chose just, like, a second or two faster.
I see.
And then he's like, you still got what it takes, Maverick.
And then the identity of that person is revealed at the end, and, like, you know, they're some. So I guess I'm supposed to be sold on, like, that relationship, like, and secret, or not secret, but, like, reveal maybe or something. So I guess there's that. I don't know. I think it was that no one's personality was all that amazing to me that I really wanted to like see them win back the cafe, even though it's a noble cause.
It was fine. It was just fine. So, if we're going to talk about games, we might as well talk about another show about games. Let's talk about 16-Bit Sensation. I was the only one who watched this. We start off with the young lady, and she works on visual novels, but she just works for this, like, just mediocre company. Like, the title, she's like, I grew up on all these great visual novels, and I like studied to be a character designer, and I thought I was going to make, like, you know, these amazing heroines and, you know, great heroes in these epic stories, and I'm basically doing background art. And the game that, like, the next title that they are going to work on is like this super low budget game called MILF Hypnosis Mansion.
Man, that sounds like a bestseller.
And like, essentially, like, that's what they bank on. They're like, this game is going to be trash, but it's, you know, it's going
to... That is a hook, man.
Like, it's just going to sell really well. And like, you know, and, you know, just, you know, be like the least ambitious, like, sex game possible. And she's just like dying inside. She like gets off of work and she finds like this mysterious retro game store. And like, they have all these like classic games. And she's like talking to the owner. And she's like, ah, man, this is a great shop. I'm gonna, you know, like, the owner doesn't seem to know much about games. So she's like, enthusiastically, she's like, I'm gonna be back tomorrow and get a bunch of stuff. And she comes back the next day and the shop is closed. And there's just
this... I thought it was gonna go in like a Video Girl eye, like, you only find the shop like when you need it, and then she was gonna find like a hot boyfriend in a game.
So you're not right, but you're not totally wrong. So what's left is this one game that she's never heard of. And the owner is like, I love talking to you yesterday. This is my special gift to you. Play this. And so she goes and she's like, I've never heard of this game, but, you know, the kindly old lady who ran the shop left this to me. It's like her last thing, so I'll play it. She plays it and, like, this thing happens and she awakes and she's back in the 80s. And she's like, it's like she goes back to the office where she used to work. And there's another game company. And it basically ends with like the overworked lead programmer running into her. And that's the end of the episode.
Is he hot?
He's like protagonist coon.
Okay. I love time travel stories. This is fun.
And so like she's like transported kind of like at the heyday of kind of like visual novel boon. So like, you know, and she has all these ambitions, so I guess, and she's at like this little no-num, but no, like, not remembered company. So I assume this will be like her chance to, like, you know, build this company up and, you know, make, you know, the you know, ambitious game that could have only been made back in the time. Because like when she like pitches like her, like someone's like, all right, what do we work on after we finish up, you know, MILF Hypnosis Mansion? And she's like, why don't we, like, she like describes this whole like complicated sci-fi plot, and like the boss cuts her off halfway through and it's like, that's way too much buzz, and like, if this was back in the 80s you could do that, but like, you need like a 3-sentence, you know,
elevator pitch
that, like, you know, MILF Hypnosis Mansion, done. You know what you're getting, we can do this. And so, you know, this is her chance. I will say, since this is Aniplex, they do use a lot, like, they actually have, like, canon, and the actual canon, and, like, comic party, and stuff like that. Like, when she's just, like, talking to the old lady, she's like, here's Rance, and here's, like, you know, like, they have, like, the actual, like famous visual novels. So, it was interesting. I was like, they weren't, like, you know, here's, you know, Comic Party or something. It was like actual Comic Party with the actual cover of Comic Party. So that was interesting. It was fairly entertaining. I'm like, So this girl is into rants. Yeah, this is a female character written by a guy.
Well, I'm wondering if what she wants to make is like this big sci-fi epic, mm-hmm. why is she like, ah, yes, the great comic party? Like, what the fuck? That's not anything like that at all. Why would you be like, this is what I'm holding up as the best? I mean, I know it's like a very famous, you know, but like that doesn't really fit in with her vision or whatever.
Canon. Or unless it's like Muff Love or something, which, you know, I'm not a big fan of, but it is like, you know.
All right. But it sounds kind of fun.
I mean, it was fun. I'll probably give it a few more episodes.
Truck Coon didn't come and
no,
send her back.
What sent her back, because she didn't go around the world. She just went back in time because of a magical visual novel.
And she's going to hopefully fall in love.
And I was about to say, it's also funny that Rance came up, because Rance came up in our Discord when we were discussing, it was in the discussion of last month's Speakeasy. So it all comes together. Well, since that was slightly fantastical, let's talk about another kind of fantasy series. This one is just pure fantasy. This is a series that Kate actually recommended to me back in the day in manga form.
Back in the day. That makes it sound like I like recommended it to you like a decade ago.
I distinctly remember you recommending it to me. And like thinking like I should keep watching. And then when I heard the anime was out, I was like, oh, there was that series that Kate said that I'd probably like. So I immediately watched it. And this was interesting that they basically played 4 episodes all in a row when it first premiered. So I watched all 4 episodes. And so the premise of the series.
Hold on. I don't think we've actually said the name.
And the series is Furin. After Beyond the Journey's End. And this series starts, and we see a band of 4 heroes. We have an elf, Furin. We have a noble knight, a drunken cleric, and a Gimli-like dwarf. And they have just killed the Demon King, and they are just returning to the capital. And there's a big celebration for, you know, the heroes who have saved the land and defeated the Demon King. And the heroes are, you know, recounting their journey. And it's clear that, like, the 3 who aren't Furin are close friends. And Furin always feels somewhat like an outsider. And the first episode ends with Furin being like, all right, guys, I'm going to, you know, now that, you know, the world is safe, you know, the Demon King is defeated. I'm going to go back to researching magic. And so, you guys all seem pretty happy in the capital. In a year or two, I'll probably return.
Wow. I must have read that and been like, this is a series for Al. She finishes the journey and then she just goes and researches magic. That's the show. That's the show for Al. So does it become a little slice of life, or do you feel like there's a bigger thing?
The reason that you have the 4 episodes is because the real plot doesn't start till the end of episode 4. So what happens is we just have this huge time skip. And when she comes back after, like, I think it's a decade or 2 decades, like, basically the hero just died. And she basically comes back for his funeral. No, it's more than 10 years. So she disappears for a long time, and she basically gets word that the hero has died. And
what do you mean the hero?
Because there are 4 people. There's the night guy.
Oh, okay.
The night guy has died.
She's gone long enough that,
They were adventuring their 20s. She comes back. He died, an old man. He didn't die prematurely. He basically dies of old age. And she's like, we realize, although she doesn't, that like, oh, I was in love with the hero and I never really ever got to know him. And just like, fuck.
Like, this sucks.
Yeah. And so the priest is pretty much dying as well. And he can condone stuff. He basically convinces her to take an apprentice because he took in this war orphan. And eventually they travel together while it skips another 10 years. And they learn of a way to contact the dead. And so Farron, her apprentice, are going to read, because the place where they can contact the dead with the spell that she gets is just a little beyond where the Demon King's castle used to be. So they're basically going to retrace their journey when they went to defeat the Demon Lord, and then go a little beyond and go to this place where they can contact the dead. And so she can go and like talk to the, you know, the hero that, you know, she misses. And that's the basic, the plot of the, and that's how the fourth episode ends, with them like starting on this journey to retrace their steps of the original journey and speak one more time to the hero.
That sounds great.
It's lovely. It has beautiful animation. It's like a beautiful setting. There's talk about magical systems.
Oh, I might have to tap out. We'll see how much.
The Owl series of the season. What more? We have a woman obsessed about learning about magical systems and magic. We have a very unique fantasy journey, because like the Demon King is dead. It's just them going over the, there might be some hints from the opening that like there might be a new Demon King living at the castle. So that might eventually build up to something. But yeah, it does seem very like, you know, a little bit of slice of life, a little bit of action, a little bit of just like experiencing this fantasy world, and like this elf kind of like learning to like have attachments, because she's just like famous for just like, just being like, they were surprised that they even got her on the quest in the first place. And like, so like when she disappeared for like 50 years, like no one was shocked.
It's interesting too that they released four episodes. I just find it so fascinating just how they're trying so many different things, it feels like, when it comes to like, and you know, we've had a lot of like hour and a half long first, not a lot, I guess, but like multiple instances of like, we're going to have an hour and a half first episode to like really get into like the meat of the plot so people know what's happening, or like, oh, we're going to have like almost like, you know, a double episode to start and a double episode to end. That's like a very American style, you know, of like the double episode finale and the season premiere. And, you know, I don't know. It's just interesting. And then this with four episodes, like, it's just interesting that they, you know, are just trying something different. I wonder what, is it like on Netflix in Japan? I'm just like, where? I guess if it was on Netflix in Japan, it would be Netflix here. So that can't be right. I just wonder how it's being released there. You know,
it was like a special four episodes, and the rest of it will just be half an hour, you know, regular.
Oh, okay. But they released four episodes at once. I mean, that's so interesting.
I mean, I really loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Good call, King. Probably like,
it's as if I know you.
Definitely like, the show probably I'm going to be looking forward to each week this season. I mean, very good. A++, Al recommendation.
As everybody knows, I gave this to Al because I was like, I don't know if it's going to be slice of life. So let Al find out for me and then he'll report back. All right, so we're going from that fantasy world to a different kind of fantasy. So I watched The 100 Girlfriends Who Really, 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 Really Love You. And so this was a series that was kind of on my radar because it's a hair, obviously it's a harem series, but it's
Kate
like...
Harem found number one.
Obviously. I was curious about it because it felt like it was taking it to like the, like, was it going to be like subversive? Like what was it doing? Like, it seemed like it was just like, you know, kind of, we understand the genre and we're going to take it to like the most extreme. So I was kind of curious about it. So, the premise is this high school guy, actually he's at the beginning of the episode, he's like graduating from middle school and going into high school, but he asks out a girl, and at the you know, at the end of middle school, kind of in a very classic way, and she like turns him down, and that's his like 100th rejection. And in talking to his friend, his friend was like, when did you start asking girls out? Like, how did you even get to 100? But like, congratulations on you for like persevering, I guess. And he stops by a shrine, and he sort of is like, all right, I'm gonna like pray for like, you know, I can get a girlfriend in high school. And the god of the shrine appears and is like a really weird dude, and is basically like, actually, you know what? You were born with a soulmate. And it goes into this whole explanation about soulmates and whatever and stuff. And then he's like, actually, you have 100 of them. And so, like, you're like, all right, I guess we're gonna just, you know, it's kind of one of those series where it's like, we're gonna explain this, but, like, you're just gonna go with it. Kind of like Rokudo's Bad Girls, where you're like, yeah, I guess there's a reason that this is happening. Let's just go with it, everyone. But he comes to find out that if he chooses one girl, then like all the other 100 or all the other like 99 will like basically suffer. So in order to be good, he has to like not choose. So in the first episode, he meets the first two at the same time. So he enters high school. He runs into these two girls. They immediately are like, he's my soulmate. And then they both like fall in love with him, and they have very different personalities, but like very classic. Like one's a tsundere, and like one is like the big booby chai girl. And then like it, I feel like there is a pretty good twist in the first episode, which I will spoil because fucking cares. But basically at one point, you know, like they both are like asking him, they both ask him out eventually. And so like at the same time, and they're like, you have to, you know, like,
yeah,
who will you choose or whatever. And then like, while he's walking home, he has this thought of like, oh, well, I could just two time him. Like, oh shit, we're going to a school day. This dude is going to get murdered. But then like the twist is that like, he doesn't two time them. He's like, I want to date both of you, and I'm telling you both that. And so they're like, what? How dare you? And then they're like, well, okay, I guess it's fine, because we don't want to give you up. So now he's like, so it's like, I don't know, is this show poly? But they're not in love with each other yet. So like, I don't, like, whatever. And he like finds them two four-leaf clover things, and like to prove that like he really like loves them both. So that was like that's the first episode, and then presumably there will be
98 to go.
98 to go. And then I guess also the problem is, so like the opening, right, is like, and there's like girls everywhere, but like this manga is ongoing, and like not all 100 have actually been introduced. So it was like, I don't know. And I was like, I mean, you know, harem series have a lot of tropes, right? And a lot of like,
one of them, like, will just be the girls volleyball team.
Well, because I was like, 100 is still a lot of girls to have like unique. Like, is there really like 100 unique tropes that you could come up with? Like,
look, after a while, Kate, you're just gonna start getting lazy. You're gonna be like, here's the girls baseball team, here's the girls volleyball team, here's the girls basketball team.
It could be. So like, I feel like I thought it was gonna be like a, like maybe more subversive. Like, I still think it was pretty like,
these girls are subtoplets.
These girls are super hot, and don't you want to be the main guy who's like, although like, yeah, I guess there's just like the part where it's like, well, you can't actually choose one, because like everyone will absolutely suffer if you do that. So like, I don't know what's gonna happen. No, I don't care. But it was, I wondered if it was going to like really kind of examine the genre in some way. And I don't know if it's really doing that. And the main guy is not like, you know, to make a truly great harem series, your main lead should be like super great. That's like what should happen. And he's like fine. I mean, the whole, I think he is supposed to, like, have all this kindness, and, like, that's what. So, like, if your number one trait is kindness, I'm not going to reject that as being bad. But he didn't seem, like, all that exciting in terms of personality. Maybe that will come up a bit more. He did have a lot of empathy for the characters. But I was like, I thought it was going to be, like, the super mega playboy or whatever from DNA Squared. Isn't someone going to come from the future to try to kill him because he, like, overpopulates the planet?
That's episode two, Kate, if you only watched, like, episode two.
Yeah, it was, it's interesting because it does just, like, take it to, like, an extreme. Although there's not really a lot of, I mean, there's, like, short skirts and stuff, but there isn't any other, like, you know, like, there's not, like, jiggling boobs or panty shot. Yeah, no, like, it didn't, like, go that far in terms of, like, the fan service.
Why are all the girls always having conversations in the shower?
I'm not saying it's not gonna have that eventually, probably, but so, like, definitely more interesting than the average harem show, for sure. And, you know, he's not a scumbag, which, like, I thought that was, like, the twist. You guys, that's how you know that you've really set the bar really low, when your twist is, I am not a scumbag. Like, you're like, oh, see, I was definitely under the impression that that's what you were going to be. What does that say, really, about what we are experiencing in terms of the harem genre? Let's pep it up, people.
Once again, Kate, we've discussed two low bars of anime, you know, once again. It's a guy without slavery, harem show without a scumbag. These are and the low bars. And also,
those intersect quite a lot, right? Because a lot of harem isekai going on. So at least he is not a scumbag.
And as far as we know, not pro-slavery.
Yes. I think he would be against that. Although I do think he's probably going to question, like, I have a feeling he's going to question, like, oh, is this, like, because there was a whole thing about soulmates and yada yada. So it's like, oh, I forgot the other part is, like, it said something like, not everybody gets a soulmate, but if they do, a woman will recognize her soulmate immediately, but a man will not. And they'll, like, it'll take them time to figure it out. So I guess that's part of also the plot. He's like, well, I can't choose because, like, I don't really know yet. Anyway, if you're going to watch a harem show, I felt like, all right, you know, this could be one. All right. Okay. All right. I've been saving this one. So it is time to talk about MF Ghost, which, as we all know, is called Motherfucking Ghost.
Motherfucking Ghost!
So this is a series from the same creator as Initial D, and it takes place in the same universe as Initial D, but it's set in the future of that world. We don't currently know from the anime. I'm sure maybe in the manga we do, but we don't currently know how many years ahead of the end of Initial D it is. But it's in a future where most cars are not using gas engines anymore. And so gas engines are really kind of a special luxury, and there's an international racing competition called MFG that is, like, highlights basically these gasoline engine cars.
And so our main character,
Kanata
comes from England, and he has a connection to racing, and so he is living with like some family friends, and he's going to, you know, go to school and live with the family friends, but also get into MFG racing.
And he's also here to find his father, who abandoned the family when he was a child. And he went to a special racing school. They keep telling us that he went to a special racing school in England. And the actual races, so this is like professional league, but it is on regular streets. But then they're seemingly, like, blocked off for when there's a race. Or there's parts of that, like, aren't inhabited anymore, but it's not, like, a circular, like, a circuit track. It's, like, more real-world racetracks. So the environment you know, comes into play. And drones broadcast the races worldwide.
And the other important thing to note is that there is a girl living at the house with the main character, and she is basically secretly a race queen. And so, what do you call it? The main character, and she's a race queen for, you know, MFG, obviously. And so, like, the main character does not know that, you know, his, you know, roommate slash, you know, housemate girl is, you know, working there. But she recognizes him at the end of the episode.
Yeah, but I also, like, I was just like, why does this matter? Why is this a secret? Like, why is this, like...
Well, like, she seems to, like, be keeping it a secret because, like we already see that she has, like, one super fan and, like... She seems to, like, not want people to...
Yeah, but it was just sort of like... I mean, you know, like, the love interests in Initial D slash MF Ghost do not matter. And so, like, I'm just like, this girl has been in the show way too much in the first two episodes.
Yeah, because you... I only watched the first episode, but, like, you mentioned, I'm like, yeah, she is... Like, you would think she was the main character for how much she appears in the first episode.
I was asking the Discord, and if anybody has read the manga, I would be very curious to know, like, is the creator obsessed with her and she's in it a ton, or is it just like the animators are obsessed with her? Because, like, the whole ending is all her, and also she wears this outfit that is very, very skimpy, like, as the her racing, you know, like, outfit. So this is only my most important note, Al, but you were like, the most important thing, and I was like, the most important thing to note is that everyone has these weird flat heads that have, like, short foreheads. Like, I don't know what it is about the character designs in this show, but, like, everybody's head is, like, weirdly shaped. Like, they don't have enough of a forehead, so it kind of makes it look like they have really short tops of their heads. I don't know. It really bothers
me. It's the opposite of the joke of, like, you know, man, me and my five heads. It's like everybody here has three heads.
Yeah. It's like, what is happening? I don't know why they're designed like this, but it, like, and, like, people's bangs are just like, it's just like, it just doesn't look proportionally correct. So something about that bothers me a lot.
Can I ask you a possibly slightly, I don't know, spoilery question? I assume you don't know enough about, like, Initial D fandom to know outside of you, but how shocking was it of who, like, the main character from Initial D marries and, like, has a kid with?
I don't even know the answers to that question. Oh. That hasn't come up in the show yet.
Oh, okay.
Like, that wasn't in the first episode, and it wasn't in the second episode, so... I don't know where you're coming up with that question from.
We can add this up. Isn't the main character's dude the dad from the guy from Initial D?
Kanata's dad? No, they showed a picture of him. That's not Takumi.
Oh! I thought it was Takumi.
No, and if Takumi abandoned some child, that would be fucked up.
Okay, I thought that was Takumi.
No.
Okay. Cool.
Nope.
Okay. That's much less controversial. I was like, man, he just, like, marries this English lady and then disappears? Wow, that's some scum shit. Okay. We get to edit it all. I thought the main character's dude was Takumi. The main character's dad was Takumi. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, this is some weird character.
I would be really pissed. That would really piss me off.
I was like, I thought this was, like, some Angel Heart shit. Where, like, what do you call it? Like, I was like, that's some character assassination. He doesn't get together with the main girl from Initial D, marries this English lady, and then abandons her and the kid. Whoa, what?
Nope.
I'm like, must ask. Okay. Much better. Okay.
Nope.
Okay. I'll leave that in that I was wrong, and that that is much, I thought his dad was talking to me, and I was like...
I can say definitively no.
Okay. I was, like, shocked. Okay. That makes much more sense. This is why people are like, what is this fuck?
Yeah, I think people would be really pissed about that. That is not what happened.
Cool.
Even though I'm very excited about MF Ghost because I am a big Initial D fan, I think so far the most exciting things that have happened in the show are only because I'm an Initial D fan. Like, they're all things that are references to Initial D or Initial D characters. And like those have been the moments that have been the most exciting. And I found it weird that there was no race in the first episode.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's starting off really slow. And then the second episode is only like a time trial. It's not, so he's Kanata is driving and racing, but he's not racing against anyone. He's like racing against a time, but like he's not directly like in competition with anyone. And like, and he's not even done with that in the first or in the second episode. So I just feel like it's been very slow. I mean, some really exciting Initial D related things happen in the second episode. And so I'm also just worried, like, if you, like, I just don't know if it's very exciting if you haven't. Even though it's not supposed to be related to Initial D, I feel like I'm watching it and more excited because of all the things that are related to that. And, like, if I was just watching this completely fresh, I would be like, it's kind of slow. Like, can we see some real, like, racing? Like, why? I don't know why they're holding back so much. Even if we didn't see Kanata, like, you want to save Kanata maybe for, like, something, right? Even though, like, we get a sense of, like, how good he is in the second episode. But it's like, okay, maybe you want to hold back on that. But, like, show us another, like, show us some other people like having
that.
We've
got the dude who really likes the idol girl.
Yeah, so I just was like, I don't know why they're sort of not leading with that. The opening is great. It's like Eurobeat and exactly right. The ending sucks and is like obsessed with the girl. And I'm like, no, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. I mean, you could show her or whatever, but the song is wrong. Like, you need this. We need as much Eurobeat as possible at all times to keep us excited and engaged. Even though I'm really excited. What did you think, Al? You've seen like an episode of Initial D.
It seemed like the story of like, oh man, the half English, half Japanese boy who moved into my house is really hot, the love story. And I guess there's racing in the background.
Wow, so disappointing.
It's like, my first love is a racer. If you told me nothing, that would have been my guess of the title. Because, once again, it seems like the girl's the main character. Like, we do get a little backstory of, like, you know, him searching for his dad, and he like opens up to her. It's like, you're the first person I told that I'm like looking for my dad, and like they do that stuff. So, but I would swear that like their love story is the what do you call it, the focus of the story, and the racing is in the background.
Yeah, I worry about that, you know. I think, you know, they can jettison her pretty quickly now that we've gotten into, like, the racing part. So, like, hopefully they will.
I mean, I was when you were saying it, I wondered how much this is going to be, like, slam dunk or the original Initial D, where, like, it seems like this girl character is going to be important. And then by, like, book two, they're like, who the fuck is this girl?
Who cares? No one. But, like, if you figured that out in Initial D, why did you start again with like, no, this time is gonna be different. Everyone's gonna care. And I really don't like her very much because she's like, oh, Kanata, how could you lie to me about racing? I thought you were like an innocent boy or whatever. And it's like, you met this guy for like 5 minutes. And like, also, he's like, it's not even the most exciting, like, illegal street racing where it's like, oh, I thought he was like a good boy, but no, you know, like, he's actually, and it's like, he's just like racing in an internationally known competition. Like, why is this upsetting you?
It wasn't like, I thought you were a good guy who, you know, was gonna become a doctor, but it turns out you were a drug dealer. It's like,
yeah, I was like, I don't know what you were expecting. And also, why are you, if you hate racing or something, why are you working at races? Maybe she, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, I don't care is the point. Get rid of her. Like, get back to what we care about. I do feel like, speaking of the, like, the, you know, like, there's so much mystique mystique at the beginning of Initial D because, like, you know, there it's like the Phantom Racer on the mountain and, like, he just, like, appears in people's rearview mirrors, like, his headlights and, like, you know, like, there's just, like, it's so exciting and then, like, this one just really doesn't have as much of, like, that mystique. And, like, Kanata, like, has been racing. He's been learning to race. So he's not, like, a newbie or, like, an amateur or, like... So I just... And, like, just illegal street racing is naturally very exciting as opposed to, like... Look, Ryosuke is trying to keep this race as interesting as possible. So, like, he has done a good job. It's not illegal street racing because, you know, like, Dio has things to do and he's, like, busy doing other things. So he can't be illegal street racing now that he's a little bit older. So he's, like, concocted this new format. So, like, it could get interesting, but I just feel like I think there were a lot of hooks in Initial D that were really more exciting for those of us, including myself, who are like, just don't care about cars all that much. And I just don't know if they're like really doing that here. So I'm also, but I'm watch, I'm in. So like, I'll let you know how I feel at the end.
So I think we'll try to end at least this part one of this fall season preview with the new Very Unusual Precure series.
So it's Power of Hope, Precure Full Bloom.
And so this is a Precure series that's like a prequel mostly to Precure 5.
You mean a sequel?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're correct. A sequel to Precure 5 with Splash Star included. So the first... series was We Are Pretty Cure, which was a huge success, 2 seasons. Then Splash Star basically only tweaked the formula a little bit, and that was the second series, and that nearly killed the franchise. And then the third series was Pretty Cure 5. It was the big hit, like, made sure that the series would continue on. That was also 2 full-year-long series, and one of the most popular of the iterations of Precure. So it's interesting that they've kind of combined together in one world, like the series that kind of saved the franchise and nearly killed it. And so it starts out where, you know,
they're adults,
they're so... all kind of working in their, like, the, you know, they all, like so many Precures, had, like, when I grew up, this is going to be the profession I'm in. They all made it into their profession. And they all, like, kind of, like, are now realizing the reality of their dream professions.
I think they're, you know, yeah, it's like, just that adults and, like, careers have good days and bad days, I guess. Or, like, you don't
necessarily, like... Yeah, like, no one's, like, miserable, but, like...
It's not all you thought it would be. Probably, which is an interesting counterpoint to, like, all of Precure and the way that it helps to build, you know, young girls' dreams and stuff. So it's interesting that this is the sort of tactic they're taking, I guess, in this new series. And we have the main character who's a teacher and then, you know, like, her best friend, but they've, like, not really stayed friends with the group.
The two who are originally the best friends, our main girl and her friend who used to be on the soccer team, they still regularly keep in contact. They regularly have dinner together and, like, are still best friends. But the other four have, like, definitely drifted apart. They barely even speak to each other anymore. And, like, no, falling out. It wasn't, like, betrayal or anything. They've just naturally drifted apart. And
But there's something strange happening in the town. Yeah. I realized it as soon as I started to say it.
And, you know, there's some creature kind of, like, seemingly, like, feeding on apathy and, like, waste and, like, you know, negative emotions in general.
In adults.
Yes.
And, like, you know, yeah, in the But they didn't, interestingly, like, I can't tell. I don't know if you watched past the first episode, no, Al. Neither have I. So, like, it's really hard to tell, like, are they going to, like, transform into their younger selves to, like, fight this evil? Are they going to transform as adults? Or, like, there's not going to be any trans... I don't... Or, like, is there going to be time travel? Is there... Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like... how they are going to actually take on the threat, because in the first episode, all of the former Precure confirm that they no longer have their, like, the pendant device, or whatever, yeah, the device
that they used to transform.
Yeah.
All of them have mentioned that, like, at some point or another, like, they just put that item away, and the next time they looked for it, it was just gone.
I feel like it has don't you think it has a little bit of, like, a Hook, Peter, you know, like, yeah. Peter Pan, like, oh, I've lost my childhood innocence, sort of, you know, like, and now I can't. So, like, do they have to, like, recapture certain feelings as adults in order to, like, fight the evil? And, like, also, we saw the mascots, like, in their own world, like, you know, doing their thing. So, like, the mascots aren't here. And they aren't transforming into handsome young men, which, like, real tragedy, everybody. Now you know why Precure 5 was the most popular Precure. So, yeah, like, it's interesting that I feel like the themes that it's exploring are very interesting.
My joke to my roommate was, like, all these dark magical girl shows where, like, it's like, look, we're going to be like Madoka and kill off a magical girl every episode, every other episode. Aren't we dark? I'm like, no, this is the real dark. Because the first episode, there's this girl who, like, is going to move, and so she can't be in the dance competition. And, like, our main character's like, I'm going to go and convince the principal to give her a scholarship so she can stay here at the boarding school and not have to give up her dreams of, like, getting to the dance con. And the teacher's like, and the principal's like, we can't do that for every student. And, like, are you going to pay for it? Because, nah.
And, like, her parents, like, you know, like,
their business is failing. And, like,
they're not interested in, like, the help from this, like, do-gooder teacher.
And then she finds out, like, oh, yeah, the dad's like, yeah, because of our financial things, we're getting a divorce. So, like, I'm just moving her back to my parents. And, like,
man, this just got real.
I was like, man. And, like, and the girl in the soccer team, she's, like, no longer, like, an ace at soccer anymore. And, like, all her... like, she's doing okay at her job, but, like, all of her, like, designs that she's really passionate about, they just keep getting passed over. And so, like, she's, like, not, like, it's not like she's in danger of losing her job. It's just, like, oh, like...
her passion is being pushed to the wayside. Yeah, it's, like, yeah, exactly. It's the dark version because it's, like, no. Here's what happens to your childhood dreams as you grow up and, like, have to deal with, like, realities of the world. So that is just shocking to me in a Precure series.
I will also mention, I find it very interesting. So this is some deep lore bullshit, but I'm going to mention it anyhow. So the interesting thing about Splash Star is that they're the two main girls who are basically, like, off-brand Cure White and Cure Black. But in the last 3/4 of the show, they introduced these two, like, girls from, like, the evil dimension who, like, are, like, they send, like, two girls to fight them, and they eventually win them over, and they become, like, temporary, kind of partially full cures at the end. And, like, in the last episode, they, like, help. They, like, unlock their cure powers and fight with the Precures. The thing is, like, it's, if you're deep into Precure, the funny thing is, those girls have never appeared again. Like, and even in the crossovers, even though they became cures at the end, they've never been in, like, there's, like, a certain part of the big, you know, Big Friend fandom that's always been a little pissed that those two girls have never, like, been acknowledged in the rest of the franchise. But the two girls who have that super popular radio, those are those two girls. So they're finally acknowledging.
Well, and this is a show for Big Friends, yes. Right? So
I just found it very interesting that, like, and they seem to be important parts of the story. But it's very interesting that, like, those girls who have been ignored ever since then in the franchise of finally getting a little bit of respect. They'll probably be an important part of the story.
You know what's interesting is that, so I've not watched Precure 5 or Splash Star. And before talking about this show, I was sort of like, oh, it was fine. But I feel like talking about it, I'm like, no, it was actually like pretty interesting. So, and I don't feel like I needed to really know any. I didn't.
You've watched enough Precure that you can fill in the blanks.
Exactly. It was like, okay, I don't need to know everything about these characters because I know how Precure works and I know what the personalities are, etc. Now I'm not getting like the little like deep cut nuggets or anything, but like even just like in terms of like the overarching story, I was sort of like, oh, I don't know. But now that we've talked about it, I'm like, they're doing something interesting here. So I think I am gonna watch it.
I'm very curious to see where they go with this, because I feel like, yeah, it does seem like the main thing is like re-sparking hope. But like also I just find it amusing that like they bring up climate change, and climate change is like you're just like the apathy about, like, you know, climate change is real and you're still just doing shit normally. And like, just, I don't know, there's some, like, I feel like there's some
commentary in there. Also, we can hope that the mascots come and now they're, yeah, like handsome older guys.
The right? Other thing I find interesting is like they really kind of developed like a romance between like one of the mascots and the main girl. So it's interesting that like he's just gone back home and like, you know.
See? Well, maybe he needs to show up to like spark some passion. Come on, everybody. I don't feel like you need to really know a lot about Precure.
If you've watched like one or two Magical Girl shows, you'll probably be able to like fill in a lot of the blanks.
Yeah, and I think the real hook here is sort of like Magical Girls grown up and dealing with adult problems, but still in like a Precure-esque way and not like Al said, this is the real dark show.
Although I will say, it is funny that they've all become wine mobs and like drink wine a lot. Like literally anytime you see, like they meet at a bar all the time and like, literally every time they meet up there.
They also eat lots of delicious food, mm-hmm, as is a protocol in a Precure series. All right, so that wraps up another episode of the Speakeasy podcast and our sort of part one of the fall season. So if you want to let us know what you thought of any of these shows or some shows that we should check out from the season, because there are so many, I'm sure there's still some that we missed.
When I was picking shows, I watched the first episode of Helk thinking it was a new show this season, not realizing until after. I'm like, why are there so many? Oh, Helk was a show from last season.
This is like too much. So if you have any thoughts about what we should check out, you can leave them in the Discord and we will see you next month.
See you next, guys. Next time, guys.